Go ahead and grab your Bibles if you would, please. Let's hold those up in the air. Repeat this after me. This is my Bible. And I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. And I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open my heart and my mind to God's Word today. Amen. Amen. Go and open up your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. I don't know why. You've been doing that for 10 years, and it still just gets me right here. All right. We've been in a series entitled Excellent Spirit, and my heart on it is to train us in the moving of the Spirit of God, to bring the value of who the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. There's a dream in my heart that there would come a day that the world would, like the book of Daniel, say, we need to get a hold of Spirit-filled people because they have solutions and abilities that they can do things that are beyond what we in our natural capacity can do. And there's an excellence that needs to come into the body of Christ and Spirit-filled people because we've done some things to be crazy. Now, it's not the Spirit's fault. It's our fault. We've done some things that need adjustment, some things we need education on, discipleship on. You know, some of the crazy that I see in the Spirit-filled church, I believe is just a lack of discipleship, a lack of information, a lack of knowledge. It's just because people didn't show us what to do with all these abilities, with all this power and anointing that God's given us. And so today I want to talk to you about the baptism of the Holy Spirit a bit. I want to talk to you that baptism is a baptism to create ability in you, ability to do, to become, to see God's wills over your life and over our cities and over your family fulfilled. That God didn't go tell you to go out there and change the world on your own, but he's going to put his ability upon you to do that. And for some of you, these conversations of the Holy Spirit, or maybe your first conversations you've ever had, this might be new to some of you coming from different denominational backgrounds, or maybe you have a bias against some of the things you've heard or seen about the Spirit-filled church or the Spirit-filled move. And we'd like to kind of present some facts to you, present some thoughts to you to help you make a better decision about these things and hopefully even open your heart up. So I'm going to ask you today to have an open heart, open mind, and let me show you some things about the baptism of the Spirit and produce value. You know, it's one thing when a preacher just says, you need to be baptized in the Spirit. It's another thing when we create value and you help. It helps you to see why this baptism is going to be valuable. So it's not just buy the product or have the product, but understand what God's offering. And then it's like, why wouldn't I want this? I mean, this is amazing. Because really, whatever God creates is amazing. And whatever God's offering, like Daryl was saying earlier, is good. And to bring about goodness in your life and God's will to be accomplished in your life. Acts chapter 2, are you there? Verse 32 and 33, I'm going to start there. This is at the day of Pentecost. This is where Jesus told the disciples, go into the upper room. For those of you that are new to your Bibles, when Jesus was dead, resurrected, he spent a period of time on the earth, about 40 days or so, with his apostles, teaching some more about the kingdom of God. And then he ascended up into heaven, where he was seated at the right hand of God. But he told the disciples before he ascended, I need you to wait in Jerusalem, and you're going to be filled with power. You're going to be filled with ability. Don't go try to change the world in your own strength, in your own wisdom. And see, that's what a lot of times we try to do, is we try to do things in our own strength for God. But you need to understand, God never asked you to change the world for him. He asked you to impact the world with him and to do it with his ability and with his Spirit. And that's where this baptism comes in. And so we see the disciples, the apostles, I use that interchangeably because those are the same group of people at this time. They're in the upper room, they're praying, this day of Pentecost comes, God fills them with this baptism, this promise of the Father, which we talked about in length a few weeks ago, and they're now empowered and ready to go. Peter stands up in the middle of the town, middle of the city at that time, it's Jerusalem, there's a big crowd that gathers because of all this ruckus that they've heard, this sound of a mighty rushing wind that comes through the city, draws people there. Peter stands up, he's preaching to the people, he's sharing with them about what's taking place. And then he begins to talk to them about what the people are seeing or what's happening to this 120 people, okay? This is where Peter, he brings this point up in verse 32, talking about Jesus. Peter says, God raised Jesus up again, to which we are all witnesses. See, those disciples, those apostles, they've seen Jesus. They've been walking with him after his resurrection for 40 days. We are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, talking where Jesus has ascended now to the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. Remember what I taught a few weeks ago. The Holy Spirit coming to the earth, to the body of Christ, was a promise from God. Now, a promise typically has within it the idea of something good's going to happen. a promise, typically when I say to my children, I promise daddy's going to take you to a special restaurant or daddy's going to do what he said, typically it's something positive on the end of a promise. If it's something negative on the end of a promise, that's called a threat. It's not called a promise. Amen. Are you understanding? Is that too simple? All right, hopefully not. So it's a promise of God, the promise of the Father. God has something good on the other side of that promise, and it's himself coming to you in the person of the Holy Spirit. He has poured forth this, which you both now see and hear, because they were speaking in new languages at this time. And Peter was trying to tell the people, hey, what you're seeing right now, what you're curious about, what you're feeling right now, what's happening and going on, this is an act of God, and it's coming from Jesus. Do you see that passage, how it works together like that? The reason I bring that up is this. The baptism of the Spirit of God, this what we're talking about, this promise of the Father, comes from God through the hands of Jesus into the lives of believers. The reason I bring that up is this. Preachers are not the ones that baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Churches and denominations don't baptize you in the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Spirit, the coming of God's Spirit into your life, and remember, this is the Spirit of God. This is not a spirit from God. This is the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. He's not in contention or opposition or in any type of conflict with God. He's the Spirit of God. And so God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, they act as one. And so God now is sending himself in the person of the Holy Spirit into your life to help you succeed, to help you win. And so when people get a little irritated and they're kind of like, I don't know about that baptism, I don't know if I want it, that church, I don't, they push the baptism of the Spirit, or they're always talking about the baptism of the Spirit, and they're doing this with the baptism. I just want you to know that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is God's idea, okay? And it's a work of God. And so if you got a problem, take it up with God, okay? We are here to communicate the Scripture, not to edit it, okay? We're here to tell you what's there. And what God is telling you is we need the baptism of the Spirit of God. That's not me saying it. That's God saying it in his word. And Peter's telling them this. And so when people have a conflict or reservation saying, well, I don't know about that baptism. I don't know if I want it or not. You're not rejecting me or the church. You're rejecting the will of God. Thank you very much for being grateful and appreciative of that comment. All right, Acts chapter 2. Let's keep going, verse 38. Are you with me? All right, all five of us are together. Great. Peter said to them, repent, each one of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift, there's that phrase again, gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise, that's the promise of the Father, which is the Spirit, is for you. And he's talking to other people that are not apostles or disciples. The reason I bring that up is there is a belief out there that only apostles were baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit. One of the apostles, Peter, is telling the crowd, the Holy Spirit's for everybody watching right now. Everybody. Are you hearing me there? Great. You might not think that's important, but maybe in Bible trivia sometime you're going to win that one, okay? You'll get the wedgie, okay? For the promise of the Father, for the promise is for you and for your children. Now, I also love that this filling of the Spirit, this empowerment of the Spirit, is for our children as well. Our kids can be and should be filled with the power of God, the Spirit of God. It's not reserved until you're 18 or older, praise God, but our kids can be raised and taught the things of God and empowered by the Spirit of God. They can, I believe, even elementary school, junior high, the gifts of the Spirit can be operational in their lives to help them succeed in their education, to help them succeed in their relationships, to help them avoid and be stronger than temptation in the hallways of the school. Come on, people. Because it's the power of God in our kids. It's the baptism, the gift of God to help our kids win. See, why is God giving us this ability? Why is God giving us this baptism? The baptism involves power. The baptism involves the anointing of God. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you in this baptism, you will receive power. That's ability. Today is all about ability. When I talk to you about the baptism of the Spirit, it's all about ability. The baptism gives you greater capacity, greater ability to know God, understand the things of God, because the Spirit knows the Father and he's searching the hearts of God and he's teaching you about God. But then he gives you greater ability in performing and doing and overcoming the works of the devil and in performing even in your own talents and abilities. It's God's ability on your natural ability. So it's God's super on your naturals, which makes you then supernatural. Are you hearing me, everybody? It's about ability. And so when Jesus said, you'll receive power, that word power there is the Greek word for dunamis, which means dynamite, where we get our word dynamite. And the reason I bring that up is because I want you to see that God has given you the abilities to not just barely succeed in life, but to blow the competition away. That's the baptism of the Spirit. Amen? That's the baptism of the Spirit. And so Peter here is telling us that the promise is for you and for your children, for all who are afar off. Now, I believe that afar off is not just far off in geographic region, according to this time, but those that would be afar off in the ages to come, which would include us. That this baptism is for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God calls unto himself. How many of us are called by God? Anybody? That means the baptism of the Spirit of God, the ability of God upon you, is for us. You know, going back to the children and the young people thing, one of the reasons it's so vital that they get filled with the Spirit is, you know, they're going to go into hostile environments. This world, and remember back here, in this time and place, there was no Christian nation. There were no Christian colleges. There were no Christian elementary schools. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It was all pagan. It was all lost. It was all either atheistic or paganism. And the children and the people of God were going into these hostile environments that had no knowledge of God, right? And God's solution is fill them with my ability. Fill them with my connection so that I can make them greater than what they're going into. Amen. It's not just what you have the capacity to teach them as a parent. Now it's what you teach them as a parent and what I can teach them as a father of God, father heart of God, and the abilities of God. Which means now when I send my child into a public school or go to university or they go out into the world, we don't want to send them out there afraid and full of fear, because greater is he that is in them than he that's in the world. Amen. Amen. And so that's where this baptism, this filling, this empowerment, these abilities come from. Go to the book of 1 Corinthians, if you would, please. I want to continue to teach you about this baptism, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm trying to persuade you, I'm going to be honest, I'm trying to convince you of some things to help draw some of you into an open heart in regards to the baptism of the Spirit and some of the abilities, all of the abilities that come along with that baptism. So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's look at verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. Your Bible may even say ignorant. There is a lack of information, even back here, where the Corinthian church, Paul in the beginning, tells them that they lack no spiritual gift. They're highly spiritual and charismatic people, but they've not been discipled in what they've been given. And so he says, I don't want you to be ignorant of the gifts, the abilities that are on the inside of you. And so he spends this entire chapter 12 starting to disciple them in what's been placed in them, the abilities that have been placed in them, because you have been given so much in the promise of the Father in this Holy Spirit baptism that we can look at it like it's just this filling, it's just this kind of intangible thing. It's not about a feeling, it's about abilities. You've been empowered to do stuff. Even when we get to tongues here in a little bit, I know I just freaked some of you out, but don't worry, it's going to be good. When we get to tongues here in a little bit, tongues are an ability. They're an ability to do something you weren't able to do before in order to help you win. All of it is God on your team, God trying to help you win, God trying to help you and help the world win, because you winning is helping other people win, becoming who you are in Christ so that you can become help them become who they are in Christ so that we can further the agenda and the kingdom of God on the earth. It's all about God bringing us forward, doing something good. This baptism is about abilities. And so Paul starts kind of breaking down what are some of those abilities that have been given. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant about it, because ignorance can create confusion. Ignorance can create abuse. Ignorance can create a lack of using something that you have because you didn't know it's in there. And so Paul begins to teach them. Are you following me, church? All right, good. I know I'm talking fast, but I got a long way to go. So it says here, you can go on in verse 2, you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray by mute idols. The reason he brings that up is he's saying, look, you are serving a God that has something to say. You are serving a God that has involvement. You're not serving the same kind of God that you just serve, this deaf, dumb God that doesn't want to do something. You're serving a living God. And so he wants to get involved. He's not like your old God, so you just give him a little bit of food and rub its tummy or something. You know, you just... Sorry. Anyways, you don't serve an idol. You serve a God that wants to talk to you and work with you and speak to you, and he's interactive. You have a God that's very talkative and he's very involved. And this is how he gets involved with us, this coming together of his Spirit with our spirit. Verse 4. And there are varieties of gifts. So he just begins to start talking about it, but the same Spirit, capital S, is talking about the Holy Spirit. There are varieties of ministries. Same Lord. Varieties of effects. The same God who works them all. But to each one of us, is given the manifestation of the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, for the common good. For the common good. Please underline that in your Bible. Your Bible may say, to profit all. How many of you love it when your profits go up? I would think a lot more of you would like that. Do the rest of you not like that? Profits up, good. Profitability down, bad. Good, good, good job. Good job, everybody. Excellent, excellent. Good job, awesome. The Bible's telling us here that the manifestation, the moving of the Spirit, brings good, brings increase, brings profitability, which is increase. Paul here is teaching the church, hey, the moving of the Spirit, how he moves, when he moves, his version of moving, his style of moving, his beliefs and what should be done and what shouldn't be done, the manifestations of the Spirit, when they're the genuine manifestation of the Spirit, only brings good. So you don't have to be afraid of the moving of the Spirit. You don't have to be afraid of the Spirit of God or the ways he operates, because it's all about bringing good into your life, good into your church, and good into your community, good into your family. Amen? It's profitable. This is contrary to some of the belief systems in our region, our area, where people think if I have a Spirit-filled church or if we operate in the things of the Spirit, this is what I deal with sometimes in training young ministers, is this conflict that they have, that if they move in the Spirit, that means they are going to have a small, shrinking church that nobody wants to come to. They don't realize the promise in the Word of God is not about shrinking, but growing and profitability. Amen. And you have to sell out to what the Bible says. The Bible gives us confidence that to move in the Spirit, to have the manifestations as the Spirit desires to display himself in a fashion in your life or in a service or in your world, it's there to help you win, them win, to break through in an area, to empower you. It's abilities again. It's all to make you able, not to hurt you. And so Paul goes on to talk about things like words of wisdom and words of knowledge and gifts of faith. Do you see how that could help your life win? That could help as a business person, as a teacher, God being able to give you words of wisdom, words of knowledge about how to succeed in your world, in the ministry assignment that God's put you in as a mom, as a dad, as a teacher, as a business person. Please do not put these things just in church services. When you were given abilities, you were not given abilities to hang out in church. Here's where a lot of the charismania, the crazy box stuff comes in, is we've forgotten why we've been filled with the Spirit. We were filled with the Spirit not to feel something, but to be able to do something. We were filled with the Spirit. And so what happens is people want to come around Spirit environment so they can feel something again. And that turns into chaos. It turns into like this addiction of feelings. It turns into trying to conjure up feelings because they think that's what Spirit-filled is. Spirit-filled is about doing something, doing what you couldn't do. It's God's abilities being placed upon you to do your assignment with God's empowerment. And so words of wisdom, words of knowledge, gifts of faith. Now, it doesn't mean you won't feel something. Praise God. I believe you can and you do, and God refreshes us in those encounter moments. But guess what? There are times you don't feel anything, but you are still filled with the power and the presence and the abilities of God. Whether you feel anything or not, I know I've been given the power of the Spirit, and so I go do what I'm called to do, whether I feel a goosebump or I don't feel a goosebump. There are days I feel spiritual. There are days I feel like I can part water out of the water fountain. I'm so holy. And then there are days I feel like I can't even part my hair, which is why I shave it so short. Are you understanding this? You have been empowered and enabled to do. And it begins to teach about some of the things you've been enabled to do. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, gifts of faith, prophecy, miracles, healings, tongues, interpretation of tongues. All of this is about ability. All of this is about God helping you get somewhere to do something. Let me give you some illustrations real quick to kind of help you with that picture. I believe in the Bible, there are shadows and types. Shadows and types. Let me ask for some help. Lee, would you give me that there? Blair, would you give me that there? Shadows and types in the Old Testament give us some ideas of how things operate in the New Testament. The Old Testament kind of gives you the vague concept of a thought, but then when you see it fulfilled in the New Testament, you're like, I get it. I see why that comes together. And we use symbols like the tabernacle or the altar of sacrifice in the Old Testament, where the spotless lamb was put on this altar and sacrificed and burned up by fire as a result of our sin, or the people in the Old Testament, their sin. And that was a picture so that when Jesus came, we would understand that he is that spotless lamb. Our sins are placed upon him, and then the fire of God was meant to consume that sin offering. Are you following me still? Well, in the Old Testament, this is really cool. In the Old Testament, when that lamb was put on the burnt offering altar of sacrifice, the fire of God would consume the offering. The fire of God represents the judgment of God. And the judgment of God would consume that lamb, and that person basically that put the lamb there, they got the benefit of being forgiven and released, and the lamb took all the judgment. Do you see how that works? Well, in the New Testament, you see Jesus on the cross. That cross is like that altar of sacrifice, the wood and everything, the cross. Jesus is the spotless lamb of God, and your sins are upon him. But the cool part is in the New Testament, the fire of God in the Old Testament consumed the offering. In the New Testament, the offering consumed the fire. The offering consumed all the judgment of God, and all that's left for you now is the grace of God that remains. Isn't that awesome? Because Jesus consumed all the judgment and wrath of God towards you if you'll receive him as your Lord and Savior. Come on, somebody. That's a great place to say amen. It's a great place to say amen. See, Jesus is an overpayment for our sins. He took on and consumed the entirety of God's wrath. There's no more wrath for you because Jesus consumed it all. And all that's left for you is relationship with God if you receive Jesus. Sounds like a good Easter sermon. Anyways, these are two kiddie pools. Thank you, Pastor Kevin. We figured that out already. But I know I'm just recalibrating myself to change gears. Follow me here, everybody. All right. Shadows, types and shadows. In the Old Testament, there's two large waters of baptism that the journey of the people of God go through in their exit from Egypt into the promised lands that God has promised them. When they come out of Egypt, they pass through what's called the Red Sea. Now, Egypt, typically you could use it as a shadow in the Old Testament. A lot of theologians do it. And something I could go all day to talk to you about why Egypt symbolizes the world and its systems and who you were when you were enslaved to the systems of the world. You were under the taskmaster, the devil. You were under his bondages. He called the shots. You were meant to be the people of God, but in this fallen system, you were enslaved. Are you understanding that? And so God sends a prophet, Moses, to set his people free and to get them out of the control of Pharaoh, out of the control of that kingdom of fallen gods, false gods, out of that slavery that they were in. God sends Moses. Moses said, when he was around, he said, there's going to come a prophet like me, and he's going to basically lead the people of God into freedom as well. That prophet was Jesus. So Moses was prophesying that thousands of years from now, there would be another prophet like himself. So these imageries continue to go together. But Moses, a type of Jesus, leads God's people out of Egypt into freedom. Jesus leads you out of the devil's bondage into freedom. But right away, they hit what's called the Red Sea baptism. The Red Sea baptism is symbolic of that freedom. That, like when we get baptized into Jesus Christ, the New Testament, referring to this moment, was saying when they came out into the Red Sea, it was like their baptism into Moses, and our baptism in water our baptism is the baptism into Jesus Christ. Okay, so there's a parallel between these two baptisms. And it's a baptism of new beginnings, because they came out of Egypt into a new beginning. It's a baptism of freedom. It's a baptism of old things are passed away and you're being raised up. All things are new opportunities of God. The devil has no more authority over you. The devil has no more jurisdiction over you. Amen? And that baptism and going through that water of baptism out on the other side, I love it because when they went through that Red Sea, the Bible says that that Red Sea consumed all their enemies that were pursuing them because Pharaoh wanted them back. And I love it. That Red Sea baptism symbolically shows us that the devil has no more authority over you. Those bondages, those addictions, sin no longer has dominion and authority over you. The devil no longer has dominion or authority over you. You have gone through a baptism, burial, death, resurrection of Jesus, and now you've been raised a new creature in Christ Jesus. And here's what I love this picture here, because this is what it tells me. Some people think they're just a little bit better version than what they once were. They think they just added a little bit of morality to their life when they give their life to Jesus. But this baptism is a picture of a death, burial, resurrection, and it's also a picture of this. You are not close by to what you once were. There is an ocean between who you are now and who you were before you gave your life to Jesus. Come on, somebody! There is an ocean of distance between who you are and who you were. But then they go through this wilderness experience, and now they're about to go into their promised lands, and there's another body of water, what I would consider to be another baptism moment. And in this baptism, it's not a baptism of repentance. This is a Jordan River. Remember, this is the Red Sea. You're like, I thought it would be bigger than that. Just bear with me. I'm sorry. I'm trying to have fun with you. Do you know what a joke is? It's I say it, and you're supposed to laugh and make me feel better about myself. And nothing? All right. Okay. Jordan River. The Jordan River was right before they would enter their promised lands. And when I was a kid growing up, a lot of the songs we would sing in church about the Jordan River, it kind of referred like it was dying and going into the promised land of heaven. Like crossing over Jordan is like dying. But here's the deal. When they crossed over the Jordan or crossed through the Jordan, the children of God, when they crossed through the Jordan, their promised land was filled with giants and strongholds and opposition and fallen nations and paganism. And it doesn't sound like heaven to me. When I go to heaven one day, I hope I'm not still trying to beat giants and tear down kingdoms and strongholds. I would like some peace. Okay? Amen. Okay. This baptism, I put this to you, this baptism is not about dying and going to heaven. It's a baptism of ability. It's a baptism of an empowerment for them to be thoroughly equipped to take and possess the assignments and the calls of God on their life when they get into the promised land. See, this one is a baptism of repentance, of forgiveness of sin, of new beginnings. This is a baptism now of you have an assignment. This isn't a baptism of ability. Are you understanding this? Jesus gives us a great picture of this. He was baptized as well. But his baptism was not a baptism of repentance. It was a baptism of empowerment. And you know where it took place? The Jordan River. And he comes up out of that Jordan River experience, and you guess what ascends upon him like a dove? The Holy Spirit of God. Come on, somebody. Do you see the illustration here? Okay, he comes up out of that Jordan River, and now he's empowered. And what does he do? He goes out and starts punching the devil in the face. That's my version. Kevin Kringle version. He comes up out of it. Now he's empowered with the dynamite power of God. And it's the same power, the same gift that's being offered to you, the body of Christ, which is why Jesus could say, you're going to do the same and greater works that I've done. Amen. Because what's on me is going to be on you. You see, the Bible says the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and quickens your mortal body. You are more than able now to go take the promise of God and the assignment of God. You're going in the assignment of God. He said, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are to go take the dreams of God, the good works of God, go take the promised land. It's been promised to us. The world has been promised to us. Are you understanding? The hearts of humanity to bring the kingdom of God into people and to change culture and to change systems. But you can't do that in your own strength. You can't do that without the Jordan River or without the Holy Spirit baptism. Are you understanding? Jesus didn't go into his ministry without getting the Jordan River baptism. And if Jesus needs the baptism, you need the baptism. Amen. You're understanding this. See, it's about abilities. When you start understanding what that baptism is about, it's about empowerment. It's about abilities. It's about God has a bigger dream than you think. If you think you can do it without him, it's not a big enough dream. If you're going to do it for him, it's not a big enough dream. God's dream is big. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says that God saved you by grace unto good works that he had planned and prepared before you were even here. God has creative big dreams for you, bigger than you can ask, think, or imagine, the Bible says, and you need abilities beyond what you have in the flesh because God's got bigger hopes and callings for you. God wants you to win big. God wants you to do great things. And that Jordan River baptism, that baptism of the Spirit, is about going into the promised land of God. See, God's promised you mountaintop positions. God's promised you places of influence. God's promised to make you a light of the world, cities on a hill, the salt and the light. You're going into some tough places, because guess what? To go take a mountaintop and to be a mountaintop, a light on a city on a hill, there's another city on that hill right now, and it's not the kingdom of God. And you need to go up that mountain of influence and push back on those strongholds, those Jericho systems. Man, I know you're not. I'm telling you stuff. This afternoon, after you've eaten lunch and taken a nap, you're going to get this. Amen. We think going into the promised land is just, woohoo, let's start eating grapes. No, you got to start taking out giants in the promised land. You got to take out strong old mindsets and mentalities and systems that don't want to move. But you've been given the dunamis, dynamite power of God. They don't have an option. They're going to move. And they're going to move with the wisdom of God's going to come through you in a way that you've never known. Word of wisdom, words of knowledge. Amen. The mind of God's going to come into you. You're going to pray the mind of God and speak great things. I'm going to get into that right about now because I'm running out of time and I need to. All right. Lots and lots of things to tell you about this stuff. But I'm going to talk about tongues for a little bit in this last portion. I want to get to tongues because tongues is an ability. People love the idea when you talk about the baptism of the Spirit brings in abilities, you know, healing, power to heal, power to do miracles, power to have words of wisdom, word of knowledge, things like people are okay with that. And there's more than just those listed, by the way. It's really the ability to do whatever God needs you to do in that situation. It's not just limited to those 9 gifts, but are you still following me? All right. I want to talk about tongues, but sometimes people are all about all the other abilities. They're cool with those, but they're like, please, God, don't make me speak in tongues. Everybody loves the idea of the abilities and the powers, but they're like, I'll accept the baptism, but just not the tongues, because tongues is weird and tongues is creepy. I want to tell you something, though. Tongues, it's like getting a pair of shoes in the baptism. The tongues come with them. You know what I mean? It's involved in the price. It's involved in the purchase. And tongues are a part of the abilities. It's an ability to do something you couldn't do before. It's not to be feared. It's when you see what it is, you see that it's an ability you couldn't do. It's an increase. It's an upgrade. And if Paul is correct, which I believe he is, and it's in the scripture, that all the manifestations of the Spirit are to bring increase in good and profit, then the manifestation of tongues is also to bring you profit. It's not to make you crazy. It's to help you win. It's another way God has put something in you, an ability after that Jordan River, because taking down some giants, you're going to need some of this tongues. And getting the mind of God, you're going to need this tongues. It's an ability, something you couldn't do before that now you're able to do by the hand of God. Now, if the word tongues creeps you out, because I think that's where people get mixed up. They're like, the idea of tongues has been so abused and people get concerned about it. Please replace the word tongues with the word languages, because that's all tongues is. It's not like God gives you a tongue over your forehead and it flaps around like this, because that would be weird, and I wouldn't want it either. I wouldn't want it either. But that's not what it is. It's the ability to speak in a language you've never learned, which I wish I had in high school in Spanish class. Just to speak it. Give me Spanish, Jesus. And I don't have to learn anything. But God doesn't promote my laziness, unfortunately. That's all tongues is. God is giving you the ability to speak in a language you haven't learned. That's all it is. Why is that weird? Why does that creep people out? Genesis chapter 11, is it too hard to believe that God, who created all languages, could just give you one in a second? Genesis chapter 11, the Tower of Babel, that's exactly what God did. You can read it, Genesis chapter 11, later. The Tower of Babel, Bible says, God gave and dispersed the languages to all the people. The roots of all of our languages were all formed in that moment in Genesis chapter 11, and it was an act of God. And he gave them a language in a second. He didn't teach them French. He gave it to them at the Tower of Babel in a second. It happened in the Old Testament. Are you following me? God's already done it before, and you use the idea of language, and he didn't teach them a Chinese and French and Italian. He just gave it to them, and it dispersed all over the world for the rest of humanity and the rest of our years. God's already done it once. And now here he's giving us a language again that we did not learn. He's doing it again. It's just the idea of language. And you think, why does that creep people out? When a French person speaks French, is it supposed to be weird or worry you? Like, oh my gosh, you speak in French. It's just a person speaking in a language, communicating ideas and thoughts that are coming from God in this idea, in this result. Let me give you some value to this. Let me kind of help you with why would God give us tongues? Why would God give us the ability to speak in languages that we didn't learn? What's the reason? I mean, we might think, God, wouldn't you know that in this modern generation that people would have a hard time with this tongues thing? Couldn't you have thought of something more socially acceptable to give us? And you know, you think God really doesn't care about our socially acceptable agenda. All right, and here's the other part, which I think is super funny. We as human beings are so fickle in how far we'll go with parting with socially acceptable. Because we've already parted reasonable ideas with the world. You understand, when I believe in a virgin birth, they already think I'm crazy. And I believe that God put on flesh, they already think you're crazy. Amen. And I believe that we're going to heaven and that my life matters and how it matters and there's angels and all this stuff. I've already parted with the world's reasoning. But now the idea of speaking in a language, well, I want the world to accept me. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We've already parted with world ideas and knowledge anyways. Let's go all the way. Let's go all the way. I don't want them to think I'm extreme. I don't want them to think I'm extreme. You already there, I think you're extreme. So just prove them right and get the whole thing. Amen. But it's not random stuff. God does everything perfect. And his gifts are good and they're increased. Let's just think really quickly. Why would God give us the ability to speak in a language we didn't learn? When God gives you a gift, understand, in God's heart, what he gave you is the most valuable thing that you need. And so for God, language, let's change it. The ability for you to speak, the ability for you to communicate, the ability for you to speak is the most important thing in the heart of God. Words are very important to God. He is the Word put on flesh. Through his Word, the worlds were framed and fashioned. People are saved because of the Word of God that comes in and changes their life. In a word, the devil has to flee. Are you understanding? In a word, kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall. God uses the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Amen. The spoken word. Are you hearing what I'm saying? A man's life is satisfied with the fruit of his lips. Are you hearing? God tells Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. He says to him, I'm going to give my words, I'm going to put my words in your mouth, and through your mouth, you're going to set up kingdoms and you're going to bring them down. Words are very important to God. So when God gave you a language that you didn't learn, what God is saying is, I am giving you the most powerful force, the most capable ability. You don't need strength in your fists, you need strength coming out of your mouth. You understand what I'm saying? You need the mind of God and the words of God, the thoughts of God being declared at the right moment, at the right time, releasing the authority of the word of God and the power of God goes with his word out of your mouth. So when God gave you language, it wasn't something for you to be embarrassed about. It was to be empowered in the most powerful way possible. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The ability to speak. The ability to speak and to declare and to let God commandeer your tongue like a police officer commandeers a vehicle to go catch a thief. God commandeers your tongue to go kick the thief out of this planet, out of your house, out of your life. God says, give me your tongue. God wants your mouth. And guess what? So does the devil. They're both vying for your mouth. They're both vying because if you can curse your life, it'll bring the curse of the enemy into your life. But if you can bless your life and bless this world and declare God's purpose and plan, you can move the kingdom of God forward in your family and in your world. God wants your mouth. Words, it's just words, everybody. It's language, the ability to speak and to declare. You know, thoughts are really important because thoughts create solutions. Thoughts begin to shape answers to world problems. And the Bible tells us that the thoughts of God are higher and greater than our thoughts. And his ways are higher and greater than our ways. Do you understand this? God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts and my ways higher and greater than your ways. And so what God does in using your mouth and praying through your tongue is he takes his grandiose solutions and thoughts, and he has the capacity in his spirit to place it in your spirit to pray it out of your mouth without having to shrink his ways and thoughts. He's already said, your mind can't conceive and understand my thoughts. And so now let me just set your mind aside and pray through your spirit, which is unlimited in its capacity. And so I'm going to deposit the size of my solutions and the size of my thoughts and my ways, because in the natural, you don't know what I'm doing. And actually, your mind can get in the way, because you can start to question or fear or wonder. All these things could become interruptions to God just praying his will into your life or your kids or the world. You know, in our natural mind, we're moved by what we see. We're moved by the news media, and the news media tries to tell us what's going on in our nation, and we begin to pray according to the wisdom of the news media rather than letting God and his wisdom. He knows what's really going on in our nation. He knows what's really going on in our economies, in our governments, in our workplace. God knows what's up. Did you like that? Yeah. Cherie likes my jokes. So thank you. I don't need the rest of you. I got Cherie laughing at my jokes. God knows what's up. God knows what's really going on. And what we need is to connect to his thoughts and his ways and his solutions and his ideas on how to fix things. And so in praying in the Spirit, rather than letting my mind get in the way, God literally bypasses my understanding, jumps into that spirit realm, and prays out of my tongue and out of my mouth the solutions that we really need. The answers that we really need. It's an ability. It's an ability to pray bigger than you could think or imagine. It's an ability to speak things greater than you're ready even to say or speak. It's an ability for God to get things done that you don't even have to understand the entirety of the process, but it's an ability to move the kingdom in ways that our little minds can't even see, because we're trying to figure it out, and if we look at our natural eyes, we don't figure it out. Even in your own personal life, when you pray and in this language in your own personal life, I look at it, what a blessing, because there are dreams that God has for you that are bigger than you can see for yourself right now. There are versions of God's plans over your life that you look at your own failures, you look at your incapacities, you look at your limitations, you look at where you are right now. You look at your current health situation, you look at your current finances, you look at your current issues that you're trying to work out. And so that's the level of our prayers so many times when we're praying about our own future. But yet God sees you 10 years down the road. God sees a future for you that is not limited by this current reality that you see. And if your prayers are limited to what you just see around you, you'll never pray the real vision of God for your life. You'll just pray survival prayers for yourself. Just get me through the day rather than praying the next 10 years into your life. Is that understanding this? There are so many reasons why God having the ability to pray things through your mouth that you don't get are valuable to you, to the world, to your kids. And God's just trying to help you win. God's trying to help you take your promised land. And in taking your promised land, there's battles and there's giants and there's all kinds of things. And one of the abilities God gives us is the ability to speak and pray higher and bigger than what you can ask, think, or imagine. Can you give God praise for that? Go ahead and stand up. We're going to close. Go ahead and stand up. We're going to close. We're concluding the series right now, Excellent Spirit. I could go on teaching you in the Holy Spirit, and I will. I'll continue in and out through the year to bring in the Spirit and things like that. I'm just trying to help you open up, understand, be excellent, have some confidence and knowledge in what's going on with the Spirit working with us, why God would value this and say it's important. I want you to value it too. I would hope in hearing some of the reasons behind God saying, hey, my manifestation of the Spirit is for you. It's to help you succeed, that you would maybe challenge some of your bias, challenge some of your previous understanding that's limited God. Because there are people, I'm telling you, I meet them, even that come through here, and I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. I love you all. But people who look at me and they'll say, I'm okay with this, but when it comes to this part of the Spirit or it comes to tongues, that's not for me. And I'm telling you, as much as I want everybody to win, like the Disney Channel, you know, where everybody gets a ribbon at the end of the race, I have to be honest and say, if you deny parts of the Spirit of God, you will lack some of the abilities that God has for you. and you're going to struggle harder because you're not receiving the help that God's given you in the helper. Amen. It's not me trying to be unfair, but I can't make the gospel say things you can't that it doesn't say. You can't create your own version of being a spirit-filled person. Thank you very much. Daryl liked that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. And I thank you because all of this points to how much you love us. None of this points to you trying to create a world religion or control us and make us weird or crazy. It's all about you know how to help us succeed. You know how to help us achieve and become the vision that you have for our lives. And that includes this baptism of the Spirit. It includes this, not just the baptism of forgiveness in the Red Sea, but a baptism of power and ability to do what you've called us to do. And so, God, I pray that if there are people in this room with questions or watching on the internet with questions, that you would confirm, you would continue to talk, you continue to speak to them. I'm not asking them to make a decision right this second. I'm asking them to be open and to let the Spirit of God talk to them, prove it out in Scripture, and to let you continue to lead them. But, God, there are those today that might say, I'm ready. I'm ready to be baptized in the Spirit. I'm ready to receive an ability and an empowerment to do. I understand it now. I've been afraid, but now I'm willing to receive it. And I pray that today as they come forward and get ministry, that God, it would be easy. Receiving a gift is supposed to be easy. It's not supposed to be hard. And that God, it's something to look forward to, not something to be feared. And Lord, I just pray that the altars would be filled with the move of your Spirit today, setting people free, filling them with ability to help them win. We just give you thanks that you love us so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said, amen. As I dismiss real quick, I want the altar teams to start coming forward. But I want to ask you if you're right with the Lord. I never want to end a service. I hate ending services where I don't get the opportunity to ask people, are you doing okay with God? Have you given your heart to Jesus? The Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, which tells us everybody needs a Savior. All of us need a Savior. And the wages and the penalty of that sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. The Bible goes on to say that all who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's great confidence there. God's saying, call on me. I'm here to save you. I'm here to help you. People think God's trying to send you to hell. God's not trying to send you to hell. He's trying to get us to heaven. He's trying to give us eternal life. We're already on our way to hell. Why would God have to send us there? Thank you very much. God's trying to get you out. He's trying to forgive you, give you a hope and a future. And today you might say, I don't know where I stand with God. I don't know where my relationship is with him. Well, then pray a prayer with us and surrender your heart to the Lord. So today, if everyone bowed their heads and closed their eyes for just 30 seconds, I want to give you an opportunity. I'm not going to call you to the front. I want to pray with you right at your seat. But you say, Pastor Kevin, that's me. I don't know where I stand with God, or maybe I know I'm not right with God. Or you might say, I'm unsure, but I'd like to be sure. If that's you today and you want me to pray for you right at your seat, please don't worry about leaving. Don't worry about the person next to you. This is between you and God. But you're saying, I want to be right with God. And that only happens through Jesus. If that's you and you want to be right with God, put your hand up today and I'll pray for you wherever you are in the room today. Just pop your hand up. There's a hand in the back. Thank you so much. Say, that's a declaration. I want to get right with God. I don't want to play games anymore. I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. Anybody else? Just pop your hand up and we'll pray for you wherever you are. Thank you. I see your hand there in the center. Awesome. Anybody else? Just put your hand up. Make that declaration, that statement of faith. I'm giving my life to Jesus today. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right, church, can we all pray together so no one's praying by themselves? Repeat this prayer after me, would you? Dear God, I thank you that you see me just as I am. I realize that I've sinned and I've walked away from you. I believe Jesus Christ died for me and rose again. Please forgive me of my sins. Wash me, cleanse me, make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Take every part of me now. Be my God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you celebrate those that raised their hands today? That is awesome. Praise God. That's that first baptism. Clean. There is an ocean between you and your past. Praise God. The altars are going to be open here in just a second. They'll pray with you if you need healing, if you want to be filled with the Spirit in this baptism we're talking about. If you prayed that prayer to give your life to the Lord today, right behind those cameras on your way out, there are people to give you Bibles and information to say, hey, we want to help you in your choice to serve Jesus and walk with you. Sign up again for the Harvest Fest, everyone, on your way out. Women's conference is coming up. So many good things happening. Let me bless you and dismiss you. Heavenly Father, I bless Life Church as they go. I pray that you would continue to unpack for them all the gifts that are inside of them that they have to take the mountaintops and to take the promises that you've placed in front of them. Lord, we are more than able in your Spirit to do what you've called us to do. And I thank you there's a peace in that, there's a confidence in that, and it continues to become something we walk in great maturity and effectiveness as a church. I pray it over us. I receive it by faith. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. God bless you as you go.